Really try to learn it, the Derech Avoda, because there's not so many chidushim in it necessarily. But I think part of really working on oneself, especially on the Inyan that he's going to talk about, the Maimer is called Nisayon Hador Acharon. This one, the Sefer Darchei Noam, from the Panamaret, the Nesiva Shalom. And they put out a couple of years ago 2 volumes, Darchei Noam Bavodas Hashem. So in the second volume, he has sections where he talks about Inyan Kedusha. And since I really think this is the Nisayon HaAchron in many respects, I thought this would be a good piece to learn. But there's a lot of poetic language that he uses. So we have to try to really be makabel the fire of his words if we wanted to make a Roshem. And also there's also some sections maybe I'll skip over where he just, again, I don't want to take away from the Rebbe's words, but to hear him, you know, yell about Haskalah for a while, I don't know if that's the greatest use of our time. That's all I'm trying to say. I hope I'm saying it in a respectful and in a way that makes sense. But I'm really just trying to say that I'm sensitive to your time, and I want to feel like we're learning a piece that's actually going to help us to make changes in our life. Okay, so let's begin. Nisayon Hador HaAchron, Mitzvahs Hador. What is the mitzvah of the generation? What is the nisayon of the generation? Where does this concept come from? So there's a Noam Elimelech in Parshas Noach that's fairly famous. B'sefer HaKadosh Noam Elimelech in Parshas Noach, the Rebbe Rav Melech says that every generation has its mitzvah. Every generation has a unique mitzvah that defines that generation. B'chol dor v'dor yeshorish letakein mitzvah miyuchedes u'lahachzik bo yoser mishar mitzvos. It's kind of like the Gemara in Shabbos that says, Avucha b'may zahir tfei. What was your father's main mitzvah? What does that mean? My father kept all 613. What is that? What kind of question is that? But just like every person has a chelek in Torah, and every individual has a mitzvah that they feel connected to. And every generation, as a door, has a mitzvah or a challenge that's unique to that generation. You know what his father said? You know what the Nesiva Shalom said? What do you think the Nesiva Shalom said is the mitzvah of our generation? What could it be? His father writes in his Nesivei Chinuch that he thinks Chinuch is the main mitzvah of our generation. That's what Nesiva Shalom said. To be able to properly transmit Torah values, to be able to continue to educate in a way that we're able to transmit Torah, again, educating the next generation. It's somewhat general, but it's also specific in terms of how do we educate, right? With what techniques do we use to educate the next generation? He felt that the mitzvah of the generation was chinuch. Makes a lot of sense. Actually, those of us who learned, a couple of us learned on Sunday, we were learning the Tzidkas HaTzadik from Rav Tzadok. So Rav Tzadok, in the beginning of his section on Tikkun Avris, he says that the word na'ar is often associated. The Svarim refer to the avera of wasting seed as chatas na'orim. Right? It's the sin of youth. It's a youthful sin. Any type of arayos. There's a hope that as a person, again, when you're very young, you don't have yet to notice the opposite gender. As you get a little bit older, it becomes very much the focus of one's life. And then hopefully as one gets older, right? Hopefully a person, as the body weakens, so this taiva, hopefully, becomes more manageable as life goes on. But it's called the sins of youth. Arayos is called the sins of youth. So it's interesting. So Rav Tzadok writes that the Dor HaMabul was a generation that erred in this regard. The Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim got it right. And at the end of days, we're going to have to struggle with it once again. So Dor HaMabul was Nichshol. Right? The time of the flood was a failure to control this Yetzer Hara for Arayos. Then you have the Dor HaMidbar, when we came out of Mitzrayim, when we followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the desert. Zacharti l'chesed ne'urayich. Again, we're called a nar. And then when Mashiach comes, the final generation also, Rav Tzadok quotes a pasuk, that techadesh kanesher ne'urayichi. But nar is always associated with this. And nar is associated with this. It's a youthful, so it's interesting. So the Nesil Shalom would say that the avod of our generation is chanoch lenar al pidarko. Right? The relationship between chinuch and maybe this avera has something to That's all I'm trying to say. Maybe it has something to do with each other. So that's what the Nesivos Shalom said. He thinks that the mitzvah of our generation is what? Is chinuch. The Chazon Ish passed away already 70 years ago. Chazon Ish said that he felt that the mitzvah of the final generation is emunah. Okay? The Gemara also seems to say that. Right? Bach Habakkuk v'amidan al achas v'tzadik b'emunah so yechya. Comes along the Darchei Noam. He quotes the Noam Elimelech. Every generation has a mitzvah. What did the Rabbi Elimelech? What did the Rabbi Elimelech say in his time? He said, "L'mashal b'dor hazeh yeshorish l'takein mitzvah sittis, yoser mishar mitzvahs." Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhensk, who died in 1787, said that he felt that the mitzvah in his generation was sittis. It's actually a very fascinating, not exactly his generation, but the Divrei Chaim. Rav Chaim Sanzer has a tshuva in the Shailos and Tshuvas Divrei Chaim. He wrote Shailos and Tshuvas. He didn't just write Chassidus Shasvan. There's Divrei Chaim on Bat Metzia. I have in my office the Shailos and Tshuvas of Divrei Chaim. So Divrei Chaim has a tshuva. Someone asked him about machine-made tzitzis, using some type of machinery as opposed to actually making the tzitzis. And Rav Chaim Sanzer wrote very strongly that he felt that it was not acceptable. And he said to the person who was trying to make a whole business out of this, he said, if you do it against my wishes, so you're not going to see any peros from it. You're not going to have any bracha in this business. So in the later editions of the Divrei Chaim, if you look, there's a footnote, either from the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren, which says that you should just know, historical postscript, this fellow didn't listen. He opened his, machine-made tzitzis factory, and the whole thing burned down. Don't mess with the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim tells you it's halachically not acceptable and it's not going to bring bracha to you. You should probably listen. But tzitzis, for some reason, the Rebbe of Melech thought that tzitzis was the mitzvah of his generation. Very interesting. So every generation has its mitzvah that needs to be worked on. So Siva Shalom says chinuch. The Chazon Ish says emuna. Says the Darchei Noam, the present Slanim Rebbe, from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. La'or zeh kasher mizbonim b'doreinu. So we look at our generation. Mi yachol ledas ma ha-mitzvah miyuchedes shetzvichem l'takin bo. Who has broad enough shoulders to say, oh, this is the, with the capital, Hey, ha-yediyah, this is the mitzvah of the generation. Harei tzvichem adam ha-gadol ba'anakim shi'yigalizos. You need a giant of a human being to reveal this. Okay. However, in his humility, he says, there is a way for us to be self-aware, and that is, Achein may oivai techakmeni. May oivai techakmeni. What's he referring to? No, Jordan, you know this one. Last Thursday night's shir started with this pasuk. Yeah? Pasuk says, may oivai techakmeni mitzvosecha. The pasuk pshat in the pasuk, may oivai techakmeni mitzvosecha, means, from the mitzvos, when we have mitzvos, may oivai techakmeni. We can defeat our enemies. We can become smarter than our enemies. That's the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, right? May oivai techakmeni mitzvosecha. You should read it almost like backwards, right? From mitzvosecha, may oivai techakmeni. It helps us to outsmart our enemies if we have Torah and mitzvos. Okay. But if you look in the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Noach, I think it's also in Parshas Shlach, and the Zohar Kodesh has the same vart, the Rav Shitzer. The way that they read the pasuk is "Me oivai techakmeni," from my enemy, techakmeni mitzvosecha. I can become smarter mitzvos. Meaning what? Rabbi Nachman has a Torah in Likutei Moharan where he says the Yitzhahara could be your best friend. You know why? Because wherever he's attacking you, he's revealing to you. He's like a prophet. He's revealing to you the place of that you need to work on. Whatever you're under attack in a lot, it's a giloy milsa that must be the avod of the generation. That's why the enemy is trying to exploit that, that weakness. So may oivai, by paying attention to the enemy, techakmeni mitzvosecha, says Kedushas Levi. You could become smart in fighting off the enemy. So pay attention. Where are we hurting? Where is the generation hurting? He says it would take a giant of a Jew, a prophet, to reveal to us the mitzvah of the generation. But let's just pay attention. What is the enemy attacking? Where is the Yetzer Hara trying to break us down? Lifamim nitein lil modas tafkir hador dafka mikol achara. You can learn the mission statement of the generation by paying attention to the enemy. Mitoch shiroim heichan hasitra acha miskaberes biyoser. Watch, where does the Yetzer Hara attack the most? Niten lahavin sheze shoresh hamitzvah miuchedes sheyesh lahachzik ba'bedor ze. So wherever the Yetzirah tries to exploit, do the opposite, and that's the mitzvah of the generation. Where does Rabbi Nachman say this Torah? He says it on the pasuk. Sofer rasha litzadik umavakish lahamiso. Again, sofer rasha litzadik umavakish lahamiso. What's the pasuk shot again on the pasuk? Sofer rasha litzadik. The rasha is sofer. He's looking for the tzadik, and he wants to destroy him. So the Yetzirah is doing on a superficial level. That's his goal. Rabbi Nachman says, "What's a tzofeh? A tzofeh could also be like a lookout. The Yetzirah tzofeh rasha litzadik. The rasha becomes a tzofeh, becomes a lookout for the tzadik. And the Yetzirah helps us to figure out what it is that I need to do. He wants to destroy me, but if I turn it around, may oivai techachmeni mitzosecha, I can become smart from the attacks of the Yetzirah. So therefore, says the Darchei Noam." He says, "Bidoreinu hanisyonos b'midas hakedusha gadlu le'in shir me'asher b'doros hakodmin." So just look at where the Yetzirah attacks, and you'll know what the mitzvah of the generation is. Again, the Chazon Ish said the mitzvah is emuna. He's telling us now that the avoda is in yanei kedusha. I think the Gemara in Makos says both of those things. When Habakkuk comes along, b'ch Habakkuk v'hamidon al achas. You want to do numbers today, Zev? You brought your calculator? What's the gematria of Bach Habakkuk v'amidon al achas? Habakkuk came along and he established the whole Torah on one principle. Rav Wolfson says this. I thought of it and then I saw Rav Wolfson has it. Because Rav Wolfson has everything. But check it out. Bach Habakkuk v'amidon al achas. Come, we'll do it together. Got regular stitching the rules here. Come on, let's go. Everyone's got to do it. I'll do it too. We'll do it together. Ba? How much is ba? I do it on the board? No, everyone should do it now, because if I do it on the board, then everyone's just going to watch. No, do it. Ba is 3. Habakkuk is 216. Vehamidon. How much is Vehamidon? 185. Al? It's 100. Achas. 409. So what do we got?
How do you spell
Ve'he'emidon. Vav, hey, ayin, mem, yud, dalid, nun. Delphi, you got the number?
25?
I think it's 185. What do you got? 409. What about? If you go on a calculator? So let's try this. 409 plus 185. You got it or no? 409. Plus 185, plus 216, plus 100, plus 3. Bach Habakkuk v'amidon al achas. 409, 216, 185, plus 100, plus 3.
913.
No, so tell everyone what it is. Bereshis. 913 is Gematria Bereshis. So Bach Habakkuk v'amidon al achas. Again, just some people know what we're talking about, some people less. So let's just be clear. The Gemara in Makos says that different tzaddikim and neviim throughout the generation tried to summarize the Torah. Marsha says, of course, it doesn't mean that they were negating any of the Torah. They were just giving a focus, the same way that the Revelim Melchel Torah can be defined by these 11 principles, by these 5 principles, by these 3 principles, by these 2 principles. So Habakkuk, the Navi, came along and said, I could sum up the whole Torah as being one thing. So Moshe Wolfson says, Habakkuk v'amidon al achas is Gematria 913, which is Gematria Bereshis. Meaning, if you want to really get back to the Shoresh, it's a Bereshis, so you want to get back to the starting point. Habakkuk v'amidon al achas, it all comes down to one thing. What is that one thing? What do they say the one thing is? V'tzadik be'amunaso yechya. So Amuna, that's not what it says. It's tzaddik be'emunaso yechya. It's two things which are really one thing. Tzaddik is the inyan of kedusha, Yosef HaTzaddik. Right? Amuna is amuna. So you need the combination of what? Of kedusha and amuna in order to get us back to Bereshis. To bring us to the starting point. Kedusha and amuna, it's one thing. The Siva Shalom writes in many places that at every major point in history, kedusha and amuna issues come up. That's why today we have Kedusha and Amun issues. And he says, it's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef, the two Mashiachs. Mashiach ben Yosef, Yosef is Kedushas Habris. Right? Mashiach ben David, David is Malchus, David is Tefillah, David is Amunah. So you need Amunah and Kedusha to make it through. Okay, so again, so it fits perfectly, I think, what the Chazon Ish said, that the generation is a generation of Amunah, and what Chazon Ish, again, was 70 years ago, and what the Darche Noam Shlita is saying today is a generation of Kedusha. You have to understand, it's one sugya. V'tzadik be'emunaso yechet. The tzadik plus Amunah. It's the combination of the two. Okay? Fine. So in our generation, he says, Midas Kedusha is the main thing. And he says, unfortunately, Hahefkerus v'hamatiranus partzu b'tzura shalo haisa kamosa me'oz me'olam. The sense of Hefkerus, the sense of matiranus. What do you think that means? Matir. The sense of what? Permissiveness. The casualness, the leniencies that we take. Right, things which, again, in New York, by secular law, you would have been fined for walking on the boardwalk in a bathing suit, even if it was a one-piece bathing suit. You weren't wearing a robe. You'd get a $50 fine for lewd behavior in public. That's 50 years ago in America, by American standards. Forget about, like, normative halachic tznius. Right, just to see how much the world has changed. Early television programs wouldn't show a bedroom with two separate beds for a man and his wife because it was considered already too much sexual innuendo. Okay, so we've come a long way in the last 7 years. We've come a long way. So the sense of hefkerus, matiranus, the sense of permissiveness, partu b'tzura shalo haisa kamosa me'oz me'olam, like nothing the world has ever seen before. Va'olam kulo halach achoranis v'yared pala'im, and the world has descended in shocking ways in such a short period of time. Again, if you look at the bigger picture of world history, how far we've fallen specifically in this Dor Acheron, it's mamish. It's that itself is a giloy milsav that we're in the ikvus of the Mashiach. Turn the page. Kol Dor Doma Kamisha Pachzu Alav Yitzra. The whole generation is like a generation of Pachaz Alav Yitzra. I think he's alluding to a Gemara in the Darim that says there was a very handsome individual who once caught his reflection in the water. He saw that he had long hair, and pachas alai yitzri, he said. I said, my yitzhara got the better of me. I looked at myself and said, I'm such a handsome guy. I could probably be very successful with many women. Right? Pachas alai yitzri means the yitzhara has a certain brazenness that we see in our generation, a certain chutzpah. Moshe Wolfson explains in one place in Emunah Sitecha, the reason the yitzhara is so crazy today is actually also a chizik for us. Explain this once in Shir. What's the chizik that we get from the Yetzar being so crazy? He says, the Gemara tells us in Brachos that Malchusa da'ara ke'in Malchusa da'rakia. Right? This world and the next world have certain parallels. The way that government functions here is the way that Hashem runs his government, so to speak. So Rav Wolfson says, what's the halacha when a person's on death row? A person's about to be executed. He's a criminal. He's a Rasha Marusha. He's been sentenced to the death penalty. And yet, right, there's such a concept that in his last moments, so they give him, I don't know, he's allowed to make a phone call that he wouldn't normally be allowed to make, or even travel somewhere where he's not allowed to go, or be fed his favorite meal one last time. It's like a funny thing, right? I don't know exactly how the halachas work. But so to speak, like when a person's about to be killed, we give them sort of like a last hurrah. So the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, the Yitzhahara is going to be shechted. The Gemara in Sukkah, in the fifth parak, says the Yitzhahara is going to be slaughtered. So to speak, the fact that the Yitzhahara is getting in his last licks and having a good time one last time and having more fun than ever before, it's a siman that he's a couple seconds away from being slaughtered. He's on death row. Yitzhahara is about to be killed. That's the chizik we get from the sense of hefkeris that exists in the world today. Okay, but it's like nothing we've ever seen before, he says. Ki'ilu Yitzhahara hotzi chama min artika. It's as if, again, this next paragraph is very poetic. It's as if the Yitzhahara has taken the sun out of its encasing. I mean, the sun is shining at full force, right? Just the heat, the heating of the body that the Yitzhahara has created in our times, the boiling of the blood, the excitement, the drive, again, for sexually immoral activity is just so strong today. Va'olam holech v'shokaya b'madmeina shel to'eva. And the world is sinking into the madmeina, means like the swamp, the swamp of this abomination. It's so destructive. Im al dor ha-mabul nemar mal ha-aretz chamas. If about the dor ha-mabul, the Torah says it was a generation that was filled with chamas, which, according to Rashi, maybe means theft. Right, not that they didn't have a lack of arayos problem; they also had arayos problems. Hare kayom niten lomar ki mal ha'aretz to'eva. The world is filled with this abomination. Ein, now look at this. Now let's try to learn a bederach avoda these next couple lines, because you can just say, okay, he's saying strong things and he's speaking poetically. But try to actually think about this, what he's about to say, because it's a very frightening thing. The tzaddikim would talk about the importance of going out to the world and just speaking words of Torah in the street. The Friedrich Rebbe spoke about this, to be matar the world with Mishnayos. Just like go stand on the street corner and say like Torah, just to like clean the air a little bit, because the air itself is so contaminated. I mean, halachically, there was a Tumah D'Rabbanan that was put on Eretz Ha'am, right? Eretz Yisrael, unlike being Chutz La'aretz, there's a Tumah that Chazal were gozer on Chutz La'aretz. So all the more so when there's the Tumah of the Averos that fill the air. You shouldn't think like, well, it's isolated to that place. No, the air itself becomes contaminated. Look what he says. Ein pina ba'olam shelo chodrim eleha karnei his kashores hachazusis. He says there's no corner in the world. That's not choder means to penetrate. The karnei, the way I picture this is, you know, it's like when you walk past I don't know, someone's house, right? And the shades are closed. But you see the light of the TV like radiating outwards. You see the glow. You see the blue glow. Yeah? Or the computer screen or the TV. So that's what he's saying. He's saying there's no corner in the world that the carne, the beams of visual media, his kishoris hachazutit, of visual media. There's no place in the world where it's not shining. Now, again, whether you're staring at the screen or not, the fact that it's just all around us should make us feel gross. It's a very interesting point to think about. Shehem hato'eva bihiskal musa. It's this abomination in its embodiment, in its very embodiment. Hiskal musa means in its most essential form. V'gam kishe'enam nirim be'enayim. And even if you're not looking at it, heim kayamim b'chalal ha'olam. It fills the space of the world. Just knowing that it's all around us. It's a scary thing. A person could use technology in the most kosher way possible, but just knowing that, you know, in theory, depending on the filters that you have on your technology, hopefully, right? But in theory, you're just a couple clicks away from like the most perverse things in the world. That's crazy, just to think that it's like so close by, that it's all around me. Even if I'm not looking, I can walk around being very careful not to be swept up by it. V'nitein l'kloto sam b'kol makom. Right? You're like mamish surrounded. You're swimming in it. And that's what he's talking about. You're swimming in this madmeina, in this swamp of tumah. Yoshim shnei anashim. Imagine again; it's a powerful image. Two people are sitting, umidavrim dvarim ha'omdim beruma shel olam, and they're talking about things that are of the heights of the universe. Right? They're talking in avodas Hashem. Uvatavach beineim chalal ha'aretz malei toeva. But the air all around them is just filled, right? Again, with the negative energy of all of the lowliness of our world. Va'achron hichpid, and he says as. We come to the final stage. It's getting worse, right? Recently, it's gotten worse. Hagal ha'achur, the wave of filth. Shal pituyim chadashim b'demus machshirim shonim shal tuma v'zuama asher lo hayu ba'avar. The means of mechanisms by which a person can access these things today, again, like a wave that comes sweeping over us. Shehu k'nachshol, and nachshol means like a mamish, a tidal wave. Harsani, hamayim ladbias tove b'chorei Yisrael, like mamish, just this wave of tuma that wants to destroy and to intimidate and to drown the finest of the Jewish people. Who's not influenced by this? We all are. We could be doing great right now in our shmiras hanayim and shmiras habris, and we're all nichshol. We've all been damaged. Even if your mamish, you know, kim'at tzadik yisod olam. Which I'll give us all benefit of the doubt that we're not. We're damaged by the world. L'srof es nishmosayim, to burn up our souls, u'la'artel osam mikol she'ifa ruchis. That's a very true line. La'artel means to strip naked. To literally, to strip us naked from a she'ifa. It's such a yetzer hara, right? That it becomes something that it sucks the life out of a person. It leads to so much depression. Again, a person who wants to be spiritually inclined, who gets caught up in this stuff, you feel like a hypocrite, like a lowlife, and a person, it sucks the she'ifa to be a big person, to be a spiritual person. It sucks it right out of a person. Lo niten l'sha'er es godel ha'sakana ha'tmuna b'machshirim elo. I don't need to, you know, exaggerate the danger that exists with these devices. Fine. And how greatly a person needs to try to distance oneself from them. And if you need to have a smartphone, which I imagine probably everyone in the room does, right, or has, I should say. I'm not saying that you need to have it. I'm saying you probably do have it. We probably all do have it. Right? So then you at least have to be smart in terms of, you know, filters and doing whatever you can to distance yourself from the negative aspects of it. Look what he says here. Va'isr latur achrei einechem kol el kol kriya v'tzipia b'dvarim sh'asr l'krov asr l'stakel. Don't stray after your eyes. It means there's so many things. There's so, again, the amount of just images and ideas that are just being thrown at us all the time. Shegarmim liyavesh es ha'adam. It dries a person out. Ad ha'yasod u'lekaras emunaso. And it cools off our emuna. Take something as like innocent, you know, as a person who's just like, I don't know, he's on ESPN.com, he's just checking, right? But even that, it takes away a certain she'ifa. The fact that I can't like live without that, I have to like, it takes away a certain she'ifa of being a spiritual person. And try going for a month, just try for a month, you know, disconnecting from whatever, whichever, you know, news website you read. Even if like there's nothing, you know, preachistic about it. You'll see, you'll feel different spiritually. The more we know these things, the tzaddikim say, it's the eitz hadas tovara, it's just the desire to know things, to want to be in the know, to just have knowledge and access and information, right? And that we have today. We have tremendous access to just knowing things, but that clogs the mind, because we fill up our brains, again, even if I'm not actively working on acquiring, you know, the news articles I'm reading, but just scrolling through things and reading things and seeing things, it takes a lot of the chiyus out of a person. Today, again, the ability to sin is like never before. Fine, jump to the end of the paragraph. So where have we ever seen a generation like this? And therefore, all of this tells us, and therefore it becomes evident to us that what? That the inyan of our generation is Kedusha. It has to be. Okay? Now this next couple of lines is kedai to read this whole piece, just to see this beautiful chiddush in these next couple of lines. Nisyonos Elohim Nisyonos Ikvasa de Meshicha. This is the Nisayon of the Ikvasa de Meshicha. Ki ha'geula tluya b'midas ha'kedusha, because redemption is dependent upon kedusha. As we say in Davening, Umevi Goel Livnei V'nehem L'man Shemo Ba'ava. Look how he reads it. You'll never say this line the same again in Davening, if you remember. It's a beautiful, beautiful taich. Umevi Goel Livnei V'nehem. Hashem brings the Geula L'man Shemo Ba'ava. What does it mean, L'man Shemo Ba'ava? What does it mean, Hashem brings the Geula, right, for the sake of his name? What does it mean, Ba'ava? What does Ba'ava mean? So he says, Ba'ava means Hainu Tmuras Ava. In exchange for Ahava. Hashem will bring the Geula in exchange for Ahava. What does that mean? You trade in Ahava, Hashem will give you Geula. What does it mean? Avur ha-karbanos she-Yehudi makriv me-Ahavaso. The things that a person, again, all of any sexually immoral act is rooted in a perversion of the Midah of Ahava. Right? Any type of unholy sexual relationship, you could tell the girl you love her all you want, right? But it's not about real love. It's not the Torah's definition of love. Right? But it's rooted in a corruption of Ahava. So Hashem says to us, listen, take all of this Ahava, right? So to speak, this energy, this desire for attachment to this Taiva, which is rooted in a perversion of Ahava. And in exchange for that Ahava, with all your self-sacrifice of this Ahava, Malo Sala Kadosh Baruch Hu, try to channel it towards love of Hashem, ulidvarim shebekedusha, because that's what you're really seeking. Again, why is there such an addictive quality to this Yetzirah? Because you want to be stuck to something. You want to be stuck to Hashem. It's dveikus. That's what you're seeking. You want ahava, you want dveikus, you want attachment. But unfortunately, if the attachment is not attached to holy things, a person becomes attached to the point that it can become an addiction. There's something about it that has an addictive quality because it's the flip side of a very holy addiction, of being addicted to Hashem. So if a amazing line. B'schus zeh meivi goa livnei b'nayim u'mishum kach gedola ma'od hisgavris sitra achra ala kedusha yosem mikol ador. So therefore it's not surprising that if this is the ticket to Geula, it's not surprising at all that the Yetzirah, of course, is going to try to block the Geula, specifically with this, specifically in the Ikvus of the Mashiach. Okay? Let's turn the page. The next whole paragraph he speaks about sort of the original Yetzirah, going back a couple generations, which was more a Yetzirah of Deos, right? All the various isms, the communism, the socialism, all the Haskala, all the various movements that tried to take us away intellectually from Hashem. Right? And now, today, it's just about pleasure. It's about pleasure-seeking. It's about fun, it's about easy, it's about enjoyment. And he talks about that shift. Okay? Let's continue with the left paragraph on page Sadivav. Hama'avaka acharon. Okay? Because here we can really get into something. Okay, everyone see where I am? Yeah? Hama'avaka acharon. המאבק האחרון הזה מרומז במאבקו של יעקב עם שרו של איסוף. When Yaakov fights against Sarah של איסוף, so that is very much foreshadowing what we're going through today. Let's try to really understand it. כמו שנאמר, ויער כי לא יכול לו, ויגע בכף ירחו. When the Malach saw that he wasn't able to defeat Yaakov Avinu, again, Yaakov is a Maisa Avosim and Levanim, all right? We know from Chazal, Maisa Avosim and Levanim, which means whatever the Avos went through, we go through. Which means, like the Morinayim writes, Avram goes through 10 tests, we also go through 10 tests. Whatever Yitzchak went through, we also go through. But Yaakov, more than any of the other Avos, is the one who we connect to. Because we're not called B'nai Avram, we're not called B'nai Yitzchak, we're called B'nai Yisrael. And Yaakov becomes Yisrael by this fight. Which means we have to really look at this fight against Sarah Shal Esav to try to understand the very nature of this of where we're holding. It's very much our story. This is a defining fight in Yaakov's life. It's when he becomes Yisrael. We're called Yisrael. So we have to understand that our lives are deeply connected to this fight against Sarah Shal Esav. It says, right, it's referred to as a ma'avak, vayeavek ishimo. That's the pasuk, vayeavek ishimo. What does the word avak mean? Aleph Beit, yeah? What does it mean?
Fight.
Can we fight? Yeah, vayavik. It also means what? Yeah, what else does it mean? Dust. Dust, right? Avak Lashon Hara means the dust of Lashon Hara. What does it mean? It means it's not Lashon Hara Gemura, but it has a roshem, right? Avak means dust. It's interesting. This is called a ma'avak, vayavik ishimo. The Gemara in Chulin, which he's about to reference, says that he doesn't quote this Gemara, but the Gemara says there in Chulin that the dust, when Yaakov was wrestling with the Malach, the dust was flying up to the Kisei HaKavod. So it's mamish, it goes from mamish, like from the dirt to the highest of olamos. It's a very significant scene, this fight. And it's very much connected to our existence, B'nai Yisrael, as Yaakov becomes Yisrael. And he defeats Sarah Shal Esav. But that's interesting. The Gemara says, from the fact that it says Vayeavik, so from here we learn that the Avak, as they're wrestling in the dirt, right, the dust is flying up to the heights of heaven. But it's very much makushar to this Indian that we're talking about, because the Svarim HaKadoshim say that Avak is Rashi Tevos Os Bris Kodesh. Avak is Os Bris Kodesh, which is how we refer in Pnimius to the Makomila, the Os Bris Kodesh. So you see that this Os Bris Kodesh, you think like, come on, like this is the Inyan that reaches Ad Kisei HaKavod, and the answer is yes. This is the Inyan that reaches all the way to Kisei HaKavod. It's mamish a big Inyan. How does it work? Can we try one? You want to try a number? From Rav Shimshon Meastropoli? Let's try this one. Let's do Kisei HaKavod, but let's do it where you do, I forget what this even called. Anyone know what this is called in Gematria? Like where you take Chaf, then Chaf Samach, Chaf Samach Aleph. You keep adding a letter, and you keep adding it to the whole mix. Is that, that's called Riboy? Yeah? Yeah, yeah, maybe. Okay, so let's do it like that. I think Rosh Hashanah Master Poli has a remez there. Just to show you that this Inyan reaches till Kisei HaKavod. You'll see a nice remez, I think, I hope. So let's try it. So Chaf is 20, right? Plus Chaf Samach, plus 80. See what we're doing? 20 plus 80 plus 81 plus, now you had the hay, so plus 86 plus 106. Is this going to work? Is it going to be too high?
Yeah, when you do a kavod, that adds
you keep up adding it, yeah, you keep adding the letters. Kisei HaKavod, I think. Plus 108, yeah? Plus 114. Plus 118?
Yeah.
What do you got? Let's try it again. 20 plus 80 plus 81. Tell me if I'm going too fast. Plus 86. Yeah, you got it? Who's doing it? Right, you do Chaf plus Chaf Samach plus Chaf Samach Aleph plus Chaf Samach. 713. Oh, it works. Good. Yeah, 713. Good. 713. Unstoppable these days. 7:13 is Gematria Tshuva, right? So when the Gemara says, the Gemara in Yoma says, "Gedola Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKavod," greatest Tshuva that it reaches to the Kisei HaKavod. So now you know the remez. If you do Kisei HaKavod in this way, Chaf plus Chaf Samach plus Chaf Samach Aleph, Kisei HaKavod is Gematria Tshuva. But if that means that the dust of this fight is reaching Kisei HaKavod, it means this is like the biggest Inyan in terms of like. Again, Geula is dependent upon Tshuva. The Gemara says, Geula is dependent upon Tshuva. The Rambam writes that way in Hilchos Tshuva. That Geula is dependent upon Tshuva. You need Tshuva to have Geula. So apparently, if this dust is reaching Kisei HaKavod, there must be. This is like a significant Inyan that we need to make sure we do Tshuva for if we want to have Geula. So he says, when the Malach is fighting against Yaakov Avinu, and he sees he can't beat him, and he takes a cheap shot, Vayiga b'kaf yirecho, explains Chazal back in the pages. Va'isa b'Chazal, the kasher ra she'ina yachol levgal b'Yaakov ba'atzmo. When he saw that he couldn't defeat Yaakov, why can't he defeat Yaakov? What do we know about Yaakov? What does Yaakov say to Reuven in the bracha of Reuven? Reuven, you're rachis oni. You're the first drop of seed to ever leave my body. Yaakov Avinu was mamish, 86 years old when he had a child, and he was never wasted a drop of zera in his life. There was no pagam habris by Yaakov, you know. That's part of the story, Gemara and Tanis, Dafei Yaakov, you know, lomes. Right? It's misa when a person wastes zera. So Yaakov, you know, lomes. So Yaakov was, so when he realizes he can't get Yaakov, so he takes a cheap shot at the makomila. That's really what it means, v'yigah b'kaf yirecho. Right? Hit him below the belt. Paga b'doros habam yotze yerech Yaakov. But we're going to learn two different ways in Chazal that are really one way. What does it mean he hit him in the kaf yarech? So one way to learn it is what Chazal say, Paga b'doros habam yotze yarech Yaakov. He said, if I can't get you, he hit him in the loins, he hit him in the makomila, as if to say, I can't get you, Yaakov, but your children, right, who come from your mila, future, subsequent generations, I'm going to get them. They're not going to be as strong as you. You may have been, you know, guarded when it comes to inyane arayos, but your children, I'm going to be able to get your children. Moshe Rabbeinu was also very guarded in Arayos. Moshe, that's why the Zohar says that Moshe and Yaakov are both, it's one and the same midah, milagav u milabar, one's inside and outside. It's one and the same. This Indian of Shmiras Habris was very strong by Moshe Rabbeinu, very strong by Yaakov Avinu, right? And that's why we try to hold on to Yaakov Avinu lo meis, we try to have a hashpah of Yaakov in every generation. That's also why we try to have a hashpah of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation. What does the Tikkuni Zohar say? Tikkuni Zohar says, Ispashtusa de Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol dara v'dara. The Ispashtusa Moshe is in every generation. You need Moshe in every generation because you can't survive. Without a connection to Yaakov and to Moshe, we'd fall apart. So the Malach HaMavis knows that. The Sarah Shal Esav knows that. So he hits him in the Kaf Yerech, Paga b'doros habam yotze Yerech Yaakov. Uv'myuchad b'dor ikvasa de Meshicha shu sov kol adoros. So all the more so, right, the latest descendants of Yaakov are the ones who are what? Who are most, if we believe in some type of Yiridas Hadoros, so that means the last generation is going to be the weakest, the farthest from Yaakov, in this regard. So on the one hand, the Yetzer Hara says, I'm going to go after your children, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grandchildren. That's one thing that Chazal say. But also, it's not just that he struck him in the Makom Mila, because the Bris Mila is what's used to produce future generations. He also says, the way that I'm going to attack your children in the future is by attacking their Shmiras HaBris. Medrash Lekach Tov, the Medrash says, Dekaf Yerecho Zeha Mila, Hainu Pagam HaBris. Put the two together. He's saying, I'm attacking your future generations, but I'm also attacking them dafka in this makom, that they should be nichshol with Pagam HaBris. B'zeh Paga Hasam Sarah Shal Esav B'doros HaChronim. And that's what the Yetzer Hara is trying to attack us in and to get us in the end of days. Let's finish the paragraph and then I want to add a couple things outside. I saw Justin Wexler the other night. He asked me, he's like, so what are you working on for Purim? I was like, Purim, huh? He's like, well, last year you started Purim right after Hanukkah. I said, it's true, I haven't pulled out any Purim Svarim yet. Anyone pull out Purim Svarim yet? Yeah? Kol HaKavod. Okay, so we'll say a little Purim Torah, because Purim is the fight against Amalek, and Amalek is Pagam HaBris. We'll get to that. Let's just finish this paragraph, and then I want to say a few nice ideas outside. So he says, V'zeu shekar chazal al dorosh al Mashiach. This is what Chazal said about the generation of Mashiach. V'leyotze v'laba ein shalom min hatzar. L'yotze u'laba ein shalom min hatzar. The enemy is going to be so significant. What does it mean v'leyotze v'laba? So the Gemara says, afilu tamidei chachamim shekasav behem shalom. Even tamidei chachamim who are striving and about them it says shalom, ein shalom mipnei tzar. Right? When it comes to this, even Talmidei Chachamim are going to struggle. It's terrifying. It's a scary thought. You like to imagine, what do you mean? The people who we look up to, they don't have our issues. Right? But the Chazal reveal, everyone has this issue. There's no one who's not struggling. Again, it manifests itself obviously in very different ways. Right? But everyone's struggling at some level. Hainu mirov hatzarus mi'etzahara. Explains Rashi, everyone's going to struggle from this tzar. By the way, who's called Ish Tzar V'Oyev? Haman, right? Haman is the Ish Tzar. So we're already starting to see a little bit of Purim. We're going to see. Amalek has a lot to do with this. So even the Tzaddik, even the Talmud Chacham, is going to have a lack of Shalom b'pnei Tzar. Uva amro ein Shalom merumas l'pgam habris sheva osu ador. Right? When there's a lack of Shalom, that refers to the pgam habris in that generation. He doesn't really explain why that is. I'll tell you what I think part of what it is in a second. Imki tamid haklal hu shetorah migna umatzla min atzaros meyitzahara. If we know barasi yitzahara barasi lo Torah tavlin, if Torah is the antidote to the yitzahara, so what's going on here? Why is there a new type of yitzahara that's not responding to the medicine? If Torah is the medicine of the yitzahara, so what's going on? How is it possible that a person who's learning Torah is still being affected by this illness? You know. It's like a person gets the flu shot and still gets the flu because there's like a new strain of the virus. So it makes a person sick. So what's going on? So he says, even though Torah usually protects a person from the Yitzhara, aval bedor ha'achron somach le'geula, gam talmidei chacham shel yilmedu Torah, adayin lo hayu muganim min atzar. That even a person who learns Torah seriously, not a person who pretends to learn Torah, a person who really learns Torah, becomes affected by this. Why? You know why? Because it's just so thick in the air. Ki avir shel tuma yagia lekulam. Because this presence which is in the air, it just affects everyone. V'nira ki zeh hador sha'alav nemar v'yiga b'kaf yirecho. So chaver, we're living in that generation where ain't shalom, where there's no shalom. Where v'yiga b'kaf yirecho, where there's pegam habris. That even people who learn Torah and really care about Torah could also be literally addicted to pornography. And nichshol in this avera in a serious way. It happens. Ha'olam kulo nismali ba'avir shel tuma. The whole world is filled with the air of tuma. V'yetzahar mislabish v'chol kochosov lifko mesakadusha ad ki liyotze ulaba ein shalom en atzar. That's what we're holding. We're holding by liyotze ulaba. You understand what he means? Liyotze ulaba means we're about to transition. We're about to be yotze from this world and enter into the world of geula, the world of Mashiach. But at that threshold, ein shalom. There's this terrible lack of shalom. Shalom means shleimus. There's a lack of shleimus. There's a hypocrisy. There's a a two-faced, you know, type of nature to us. That you could have Jews who on the one hand really want Kedusha, and on the other hand are just inundated with this Tumah. Okay, so let's say a few things. Let's just try to connect a couple more. Can we learn a few more minutes? It's 4 o'clock. So anyone, if you have to leave, go. Okay, we'll stop at 4:15. So first of all, you could say it like this. Shalom is always the chasima of something. Right? Where do we see that shalom is like the way you end something? So Shmona Esrei ends with shalom. The last Mishnah in Shas ends with shalom. Good. What else? So davening ends with shalom. Torah, last Mishnah in Shas ends with shalom. Where else? Birchas Kohanim ends with shalom. Right? Birchas Kohanim ends with shalom. We're always trying shalom, because again, shalom is a lashon of shleima. So when you're trying to put the finishing touches on something, shalom makes a lot of sense. Shalom makes a lot of sense. That's also the Mishnah in Eidio says that why is Eliyahu Navi coming to the world? Not for Tumah and Tahara, but what? To bring shalom to the world. So the conclusion of things is shalom. So he's telling us that Befrat, in the Ikras of the Mashiach, we're going to have this struggle. Okay? So what's the gematria of Ikras of the Mashiach?
940.
936. Right? 936 is a big number. 936. What's the gematria of shalom? Well, Shalom's got your Esav, because when you're fighting against Sarah Shal Esav, 376. Right? Ah, but says Adam, the final mem is how much? How much is mem sofit in Gematria? It's 600. So how much is Shalom? 936. Right? Shalom is 936. So Shalom is Gematria, Ikvis of the Mashicha. So that makes a lot of sense. To me, that makes a lot of sense. Right? Because if shalom is, so to speak, again, the finishing touches of things, so ikvas of the Mashiach means that this is it. This is the final generation that's trying to usher in Mashiach. So that's exactly what he just said here. He said, "Ubimiyuchar bedor ikvas of the Mashiach." He said, "There's going to be what? There's going to be ein shalom in hatzar, because of this tsar, because of this yetzer hara, because of again, tsar is Haman. Haman is Amalek. Because of Amalek, and because of pegam habris, there's going to be a terrible struggle in this inyan." Okay, where do we see that Amalek is the one who has such a hisnagdus to bris milah? Because there's other people who have hisnagdus to bris milah. Where do we see? Where do we know that Amalek has a hisnagdus? Right. So it's a Rashi at the end of Kisetze. Let's review a Rashi at the end of Kisetze. It says, "Zachor eis asher asal lecha Amalek baderech b'tzeischem Mitzrayim asher karcha baderech." First of all, Rashi says karcha is a lashon of what? Of carry. Of Tuma, Baal Keri, right? Hashar Karcha B'derech. V'yizanev b'cha kol ha-nechashalim acharecha. And they attack the weaklings, the nechashalim acharecha, the ones who are lagging behind, the ones who are achers. Amalek attacks the achers. Amalek attacks the achers. That's why Purim is the achers Hashana. Purim is the end of the year. Think about it. If you count from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Adar. Adar is the last month. So Amalek always attacks at the end. Right? Bris Milah is also something that's called the end. Ironically, it's the first mitzvah that we do as young babies. But in a certain sense, I think Rabbi Rubenstein spoke about this once, that Milah is called the end. It's called the Chasima Saguf. It's called the end of the body. Right? Not to be inappropriately graphic, but it's the part that extends away from the body. Right? So it's the extremity of what's called the extremity. So when the pasuk says Vayizanev Becha kol nechashalim acharecha, what does it mean Vayizanev Becha? So Rashi says Mkas Zanav. Zanav is a tail. The Bismila, like a tail, extends from the body. So what did Amalek do? Chotech mis vizorek klape mala. Amalek would cut off the mis. And they would throw them towards the heavens. Now, whether that means Amalek actually tried to, you know, catch Jews and cut off their bris milas, right, to cut off their entire mila, I don't know if that's what it means. Some of the Mefarshim and Rashi seem to say this is just chotech milos, uzorkan klape mala, means it's euphemistic for the if you look in the actual Medrash Tanchuma, it says they would throw the bris milas towards the heaven and say, "Oh, Hashem, here, you apparently you like this, you know? like poking fun at Prismil, like what kind of sick, crazy religion does such a thing? So they would cut off the milah and they would throw it, klapei mala, throwing it towards Hashem, saying, Hashem, here. Yeah, this is what you want? This is what you do? You mutilate babies? What kind of sick, crazy religion is this? That was the cynicism of Amalek, that they were mezalzel in the inyan of milah. The Baal HaTurim, I think, says right here on the spot, the Baal HaTurim says that if you look at the word vayizanev b'cha, he says vayizanev b'cha is gematria zem milah. Okay, vayizanev b'cha is gematria zem milah. And then, is there another one? I think he says something else also. Let's see it. Okay, fine. So Amalek is the one who's mezalzel in the inyan of Bris Milah. I thought there was another remez to Milah also. Okay, fine. Fine. So Amalek's the one who's mezalzel in the inyan of Milah. Now Amalek, right? Amalek is the descendant of Esav who hangs around the longest. Because Amalek is not only a people, Amalek is an ideology. So if Yaakov, so to speak, where we start from, fought against the Malach of Esav, so to speak, as it plays itself out at the end of days, in the Achris Hayamim, right, it plays itself out with what? It plays out with the Ikvas of the Mashiach, fighting the last remnant of Amalek. And Purim, again, Purim is sort of the last in that way. Even though Purim is not the last thing ever, it's not the last holiday, Hanukkah comes after Purim, chronologically, but Purim has a lot to do with Achris, right? The Svarim even say that the gematria of Achris is 619, and Purim is mitzvah 619. Chanukah is 620, it's the last thing. Purim is 619, 619th mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs daraisa, 7 primary rabbinic institutions, okay? And the sixth one, number 619, maybe 6 is connected to Yesod, I don't know, just thinking now, but mitzvah 619 is, the Achris is Purim, okay? So that's why the Sarashal Esav strikes Yaakov where Vayiga Bekaf Yerecha. Okay? So let's do two more Ramazim, then we'll just read one little last little section. Okay? What's the gematria of Vayiga Bekaf Yerecha? Kaf Yerecha is gematria Purim. Kaf Yerecha. What's Vayiga? And Vayiga is gematria Chanukah. I said that last week. Vayiga is gematria Chanukah, and Kaf Yerecha is Purim. Okay, so it's 427. So Vayiga b'Kaf Yerecha is 427. So I want to say two things. I hope they're true. Okay. First of all, we learned Leman Shemo ba'Ava, right? We learned that we have to try to trade in the fake Ava for real love of Hashem. The Pritzus Dika Ava, we have to trade it in for real love of Hashem, and then we'll have the Gula. So when does Esav show Ahava to Yaakov Avinu? Right? It's a very, very important scene also in the Torah. It's probably just as important as the Vayiga B'Kaf Yerecha. When Esav punches you and hits below the belt, a cheap shot, which we're still dealing with in the Ikvas of the Mashiach, right? It's just as, that's one way Esav attacks us, right? He literally attacks us, he punches us, he injures us. The other way that Esav tries to what? To damage us is that he tries to befriend us. He tries to seduce us. Vayishakeyu, he tries to kiss us. But we know, like Rashi says, there are dots over the word Vayishakeyu, because what did Esav really want to do? He wanted to bite us. If he can't bite us, he kisses us. Ask the Sfas Emes, what kind of strange thing is that? If you have an enemy who you want to bite, yeah? You have an enemy who you want to bite, and you can't bite them, so you give them a kiss? So Sfas Emes says, yes, if I can't hurt you, then I'll try to seduce you, right? If I want to destroy you, there's different ways I can destroy you. Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav. Save me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. It's also Purim. Hatzileni na miyad is Mashitevos Haman. Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav. That Baal Turim, I think, already says that on Chumash. That Hatzileni na miyad is Haman. So save us, right? So sometimes they're going to try to destroy us, but sometimes they destroy us through the love. So I just realized today that the Vayiga B'Kaf Yerecha was one way that Esav tries to harm us, And Vayishakehu, with the dots over it, is the other way that he tries to harm us. So what's the gematria of Vayishakehu? Vayishakehu. And he kissed him, which is the most, so Sfasama says that was the most evil kiss of all time. Because it was a kiss that was intended to be a bite. Vayishakehu. 427. It's the same gematria as Vayiga Vakaf Yerecha. It's Geshmak, no? Elliot, you hear? Vayishakehu is gematria Vayiga Vakaf Yerecha. Because it's the same, it's mamish, that kiss is not any different than the hit below the belt. It's disguised as a kiss, but there's dots over it. Watch out, he's trying to harm you. You should just know that the Vayishakehu is exactly Vayiga Vakaf Yerecha. Okay? Well, let me say one more point. And that is, what happens if you, Svarim will do this, that's why I feel comfortable saying it like this. Right? Sometimes you take off a prefix to really get to the essence of the phrase, right? So like you could say Vayiga Bakaf Yerecha, it's 427, right? But the Vav, the Vayiga, you don't really need the Vav. Tzaddikim can do this a lot, Rashur does this all the time. And you see it in Svarim also. And sometimes you'll just take off the prefix and you'll just use like the essential word. So Yiga Bakaf Yerecha is 421, right? 424. In the right zone. Okay, 421 is Milchama LaHashem BaMalik. It's Milchama LaHashem BaMalik. Because again, this is the battle against the Malik. A Malik is the one who's Mezalzel in the Inyan of Bris Milah. And that's why Haman thinks he can destroy the Jewish people. The more Amalek you are, the more you think you can destroy the Jewish people. Because if we have Pagam HaBris, Ein Shalom, then there's no Geula. Then there's no Mashiach. And that's why this Inyan is such an important Inyan. That's Bacha Bachtuk V'midon Al-Achas. It comes down to this one Inyan of a Tzadik B'Menasa Yechya. The Inyan of Kedusha and the Inyan of Amunah. It's Mamish, the Nisayon of the generation. Okay? For two last minutes, let's just end with this final little piece. Val Derech Zebi Arnu, bottom paragraph on page Tzadivav. Val Derech Zebi Arnu, Gamas Hedvarim, Sha'omar Bilam Labalak. With this we understand, again, if you look in the Zohar, the greatest enemy of Klal Yisrael ever was Balak and Bilam merging together. The Zohar says, Nesiva Shalom quotes it, there was never a scarier time than this merger of Bilam and Balak. You know why? Because what happens when you put Bilam and Balak together? You see a Malik? You see a Malik in it? You take the lack of Balak and you take the Am of Bilam, right? So it's a little bit of Bilbul. A little bit of Bavel, it's a little bit of Amalek. Bavel is the beginning of the Galus, right? Galus Bavel. Amalek, in a certain sense, is the end of the Galus, you could say. There's a lot of ways to say it. It's a really bad merger. So what does Bilam suggest? Bilam says, Bilam is the greatest, Bilam is Keneged Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Navi of the Umas HaOlam, Keneged Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Lo kam bi Yisrael kemoshe. What does the Medrash say? What does Chazal say? There's never anyone on the level of Moshe. Lo kam bi Yisrael. There's no one amongst the Jewish people like Moshe. But the Umas HaOlam, they have someone who's on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's that? Bilam. It's Bilam. Terrifying. So look. Lecha i'atzcha asher yaseh ha'am lezeh la'amcha ba'achris hayamim. Bilam, whose whole nevuah is about the achris hayamim, he says, let me give you some advice. Explains Rashi, take a look. Perish Rashi. Shekan amr lo, Elokeyem shel elu sone zimahu. The Jewish God hates immoral activity. Sone zima. God hates znus. Hashem hates arayos. Hashem is repulsed by the fact that you would take the bris milah and use it in a way that's not holy. Ve'isio ha'etza. So he offered him the advice. Lachshilim b'benos moav. Go get involved with the benos moav. You can get the Jews to be seduced by moav. That would be a big victory for you, Bilam. Balak, right? This is Bilam's advice to Balak. Achein lefi pshuto shel mikra. Turn to the last page. Hatevos lecha i'atzcha kshuros lehemshach hakasuv. So he says the pashut pshat is that what? That the advice that's being given is connected to asher yasa amazel la'am chabacher sayamim. Shehodiyu es ha'asid lavo bizman ha'geula. He wasn't just giving him advice for right now. How to mess up the Jews right then and there in the Midbar. He was giving advice, how are we going to defeat the Jews? Ba'acher sayamim. Mamish, the end of days. If you can get the Jews to stumble in this, then you could stop the entire Achras Hayama. You could stop the Achras Hayama. Ki inina geula hu b'shuv Hashem Tzion. What are we trying to do? We're trying to get back to Tzion. Chever, what is Tzion? What is Tzion? He says, Chatam Eilu, Nemar v'lo yirbacha ervas davar v'shav me'acharecha. Right? If you have arayos, then Hashem turns away from you, as opposed to you returning to Yerushalayim and the Shechina returning to Tzion. Uvekochas ha-klipa achein kiblu as-atzas Bilam. So the klipa listened to Bilam's advice, and that's what we're still battling today. Just go down to the last five lines of this paragraph. He says, the imbitora ein machsor kayom. Yes, it's true we have Torah today. Ava bekedusha shor chorban gadol. We might be learning Torah more than ever, but Jews are also doing averos in this area more than ever. It's true. It's a tragedy. Al dareinu yesh likros akasuv. About our generation, we have to say as we try to get back to Tzion, v'nosra basion kisuka vakarem. It's a sad pasuk, right? The remnant of Tzion is like. It's like a sukkah, like a little hut in the vineyard. Meaning the Jews who represent Tzion are few and far between. He concludes by saying, Tzion is Gematria Yosef. Tzion is Gematria Yosef. Right? The Sfarim say Tzion, look at the word Tzion. It's a tzadi, Yosef a tzadik. It's a tzadik in front of Yavan. Yavan also is very much of Midas Yesod in a certain sense. Midas Yesod. Midazu nosra kesuka bakarem. Kesuka matalipo ruchos ara mevakshos laakoros samin hashorish. It's like a little hut that's about to collapse. Sukkah nofalas. So mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to be machazik ourselves in these inyanim. To understand, this is mamish the nisayon of the generation. And to whatever degree we could trade in our ava for stupidity and shallowness, we'll be able to mirtz Hashem join Mashiach meher b'min omen. Okay.